global crude oil prices have been rising and all of us are getting affected by that. In India, we are particularly complaining about consumer prices of petroleum going up, that is diesel, petrol, gas. Further, government's putting a lot of taxes on it. Government has cut some taxes, but underlying cost, rising crude prices remains. Now, all over the world, there is concern about this because this is leading to inflation. So a country like America, an economy like America, which was recovering from the pandemic quite nicely and growth was coming back, is now facing the kind of inflation that Joe Biden doesn't want. Similarly, other countries, other big economies, that is Japan, South Korea, China. I'm listing these countries especially because these are massive oil importing countries. Now, all of them don't have the inflation problem. Japan actually will be quite grateful to have some inflation, but this is oil that's become too expensive now. Now they've been leaning on the oil producing nations, that is OPEC and OPEC Plus, and I will explain to you what that means in a minute. So they've been leaning on them, but they are not listening because OPEC also has now very strong influence from the OPEC Plus partner, the key OPEC Plus partner, which is Russia. And Russia's main source of income is crude oil export. So for Russia, it's very important to keep prices up, because if prices are up, then they can push around Ukraine. They can support Belarus, Lukashenko in Belarus. They can do the kind of stuff they are doing, say, in Afghanistan. And that's the reason you might have seen the Russians have gone and sort of struck roots in Azerbaijan. After Azerbaijan defeated Armenia, now the Russians are there. So anyway, the oil prices have been going up. So the oil importing countries have decided to serve a message. And to give a message to OPEC and OPEC Plus, OPEC's going to have, oil producing nations are going to have their next meeting on December 2, where they will decide whether to increase production or not. Because the only way to reduce global oil prices or to cool down global crude prices is to produce more. It's supply and demand, because demand has gone up lately, particularly because there's been an energy shortage in China, India, many other countries of the world. A lot more coal is being dug out. So demand for oil has gone up. So at this point, OPEC countries, producing countries, exporting countries have to produce more. Only then prices can come down. Now, to give them a symbolic message, and I'm qualifying it already symbolic message, and I will explain to you. To give them a symbolic message, the world's biggest oil importing countries, that is America, the biggest of the big daddies, America, China, India. India is the third largest oil importing country in the world. America, China, India, South Korea, Japan, and UK. All of them have decided to take some oil, some crude out of their strategic oil reserves. Now, all major countries which do not produce enough oil for themselves maintain a strategic oil reserve. God forbid what happens tomorrow. In the case of India, what happens if there is a war tomorrow? God forbid. What happens if oil supplies from the Middle East are blocked? So India also decided to build a reserve 1998 onwards. This was a decision taken under Atal Bihari Vajpayee's government. Now, all these countries decided that they will release some oil, each one according to their capacity or their shraddha, as they say, or each one to their ability. They will release some crude oil from their reserves. What that will do is that will cool down demand for oil right now. And crude oil, as we know, is sold in futures. People are not buying for today. People are buying for delivery at a certain point ahead. Now, in this process, US has decided to release 50 million barrels of crude oil from its reserves. Japan, about 3.5 to 5. India, about 5 million barrels from its crude oil reserves. China, we don't know for sure, like everything else with China. But generally, if I read the international energy media, they've got it right. China is going to release about 7.5 million barrels, which is not a lot for China, but which is something. China has a much bigger reserve and could have released more. Then South Korea is still unspecified, but generally it's believed that they will release about 3 million barrels. UK just about 1.5 to maybe 2 million barrels. Now, what does it add up to? It doesn't add up to very much. If you look at India's 5 million barrels, for example, India's daily consumption of crude oil is just a little less than 5 million barrels a day. So Every day, India imports about 3.84 million barrels, and the rest India produces. 84% of all of India's crude oil needs are imported, 16% India produces. Now, if India imports about 3.8, 3.9 barrels a day, then you can see that another 16% is produced domestically. So India's daily consumption is about 4.7, 4.75. So in the same ballpark as 5 million barrels. So you would say, one day's consumption you are releasing, what difference does it make? It's not even a flea bite. It's not even an ant bite. Kisi ke kaan mein jhoo bhi nahi rahegi. Nothing will happen, right? So why should the oil exporters bother about it? Similarly, Americans are releasing 50 million. Again, 50 million is 10 times what India is releasing, but it isn't that much. It isn't that much, and under American law, when they release it to oil companies, bulk of it is like a loan. So of the 50 million barrels that America will release, 32 million barrels will be on returnable basis. So American oil companies, refining companies will get it. In the course of time, they have to buy it and replenish it. So what happened after this had happened? You thought that oil prices will go down. And when, because this move was anticipated, oil prices had cooled down. They had cooled down, say, from about $85, $86 a barrel to about $78 a barrel. But when these release figures came, the market, you can say, disappointed. If you're a consumer, the market was disappointed. If you're an oil producer, the market was thrilled. The market was relieved that these countries are not releasing as much of their strategic reserves as might have been possible. So markets actually recovered a little bit. I mean, still way below $86, but still recovered a little bit, like a dollar or so, to say that we are reassured that these countries haven't struck us hard enough. So if you look at these releases by these countries from their strategic reserves in their entirety, this reminds me of a Hindi metaphor. Now, I know that many of our viewers, listeners, readers elsewhere in the country say that, look, you use Hindi metaphor. There is also Tamil metaphor, Telugu metaphor, Malayalam metaphor, Gujarati, Bengali, Maharashtrian, Marathi, etc. I acknowledge all that, but I can only talk in languages that I know. So I know the Hindi metaphor. So Hindi metaphor, it reminds me of something, a phenomenon that's called oot ke muh mein jeera. Now, oot, I think, is widely understood. Oot is a camel. You know how big a camel is, and you know how big a camel's mouth is, and you know how big camel's teeth are, because they chew a lot of the dry grass and stuff, and dry foliage and stuff. So this is oot ke muh mein jeera. What is jeera? Jeera is cumin seed, right? So if you know how small cumin seed is, so you pick up one cumin seed and put it in the mouth of a camel under those giant teeth that are used to chew or munch foliage and dry grass, right? Or dried branches. Now it means nothing. So this is a way of saying that the measure you've taken will make as much difference as one grain of jeera or one grain of cumin seed would do to a camel if you put it in its mouth. Now, I know that when you translate this into English, it loses all its favor, and that's a completely unintended pun. That's the exact translation, because you eat jeera for taste and for flavor, right? But this is what it means. This is not a flea bite. This is just oot ke muh mein jeera. It'll not hurt the oil producing nations. So what does it mean? And why have these powerful countries done it? And why has India joined in? Because India is very conservative about these things. India has never dipped into its oil reserves. In fact, even after India has done it, many people, particularly those who were involved in setting up the reserve, are upset. And they say this is reckless. India should not have done it. This reserve is for a warlike situation when your oil supplies may be cut. So Yashwant Sinha today, who was finance minister, external affairs minister, very always in a key position in the Vajpayee government, in a CCS position, Cabinet Committee on Security position, he has tweeted today that this is a folly. Why is Modi government doing it? They should keep this reserve with them, because this is for a really rainy day when a war breaks out and you are short. Because all of India's reserves right now cover for about 10 days of consumption in India if India got no further oil supplies from anywhere. So why are you releasing one days? So why have these countries done it? Because they also know, they are not stupid, they also know that given how much oil is produced and exported and bought and sold every day, this is nothing. They've done it because this is a way of giving a message to the oil producing countries that look, you are now getting ahead of yourselves. We are not going to accept it, and we are powerful countries. So if India and China have joined hands now with America and Japan, that is just as there is OPEC and OPEC Plus, this is Quad and Quad Plus, and Quad Plus in this case is China, right? And South Korea is also there. UK is also there. That means a lot of the world is now telling OPEC and OPEC's partners that, listen, you guys are going too far. Don't make oil unaffordable because there will be consequences. Now, whether OPEC cares or not, I see two bits of analysis in global energy media. One says that, okay, OPEC will see sense and they will start producing a lot more. Earlier, when Biden put pressure on them, all they said was, we'll produce 4 lakh barrels more every day. So this is like peanuts. You remember when Afghanistan was invaded by the Soviet Union and Pakistan was needed by the Americans, Jimmy Carter, then as president, had offered Pakistan an aid of $500 million. And Pakistan dictator then Ziaul Haq said, this is peanuts, right? Why peanut was funny in particular? Because Ziaul Haq, whatever you might say about him, had some GK and had a sense of humor. Jimmy Carter was known to be a peanut farmer from Georgia. So this is like peanuts. It's not even much of peanuts, but it's a symbolic message. So the other interpretation in the international energy media is that now the OPEC countries, OPEC and OPEC plus countries, will say, these guys can't do very much. So let's carry on like this. We give them the periods of 4 lakh barrels a day. Maybe we'll give them 6 lakh or something, and life will go on as usual. So let us see what happens on December 2. Overall, however, it is important because you remember how OPEC came into being. 1973, Yom Kippur War, Arab countries thought Israelis had once again been very rough with them, defeated them yet again with the help from the Western forces, particularly America. So this was a way for oil producing countries at that point, mostly the Arab Middle Eastern countries, to get together, Islamic countries, to build collective bargaining, because they knew that the entire world needed their oil. And they could now make oil a lot more expensive and teach everybody a lesson. So this became not a blackmail, but this became a kind of collective bargaining, because we had a virtual monopoly over an essential commodity for the whole world. Now, after 1973, this is the first time in 2021, see how much time has passed, nearly 50 years have passed. This is the first time when buyers have got together, when the world's biggest buyers have cartelized and got together and said, listen, this is unacceptable. Just because you guys got together, you can't keep us, can't hold us to ransom all the time. We also have a power of collective bargaining, and for this, we will bury our differences. So America, China, India, Japan will all come in on the same side. That is the big principled meaning of this step. Now, what exactly is OPEC? So OPEC, I will just give you the names, although I suspect many of you know it, you can Google it also. But OPEC, original OPEC is Algeria, Angola, and this is alphabetical, not in the order of their production or exports. Algeria, Angola, Republic of Congo, Equatorial Guinea, a lot of these are African countries. Gabon, then Iran, which suffers from many sanctions right now. Iraq, Kuwait, Libya, Nigeria, South Africa, UAE, and last of all, alphabetically, but probably with the largest reserves in the world, Venezuela, which is also a victim of sanctions. So Venezuela, Iran having victims, all also has suppressed global crude supplies. Then OPEC Plus, there is a bunch of other countries which are called OPEC Plus countries, which give weight to this grouping. That is Azerbaijan, again alphabetical. Azerbaijan, remember the Baku in Azerbaijan has the oldest oil and gas fields in the world. Azerbaijan, Bahrain, Brunei, Kazakhstan, Malaysia, Oman, Russia, the big daddy here, Sudan, and South Sudan. Sudan has its own complex history that I think my colleague Pia Krishnan Kutty has told you about. This is the one collective that you are bargaining with. On the other side, what is it? What is the war chest? What is the strategic reserve that these other countries have got who are now cartelizing to fight the sellers or fight the producers? US has a strategic reserve, the largest strategic reserve, of 606.1 million barrels right now. That only fills 85% of the capacity that the Americans have. Now the US has a total capacity of 714, that is 714 million barrels, of which Currently, they hold about 85%, which is 606.1 million barrels. This is something that US Energy Department updates every day. So that data is very easily available. Now, the US has also used their strategic reserve more times in the past than any of the other major countries. For example, in 2011, Obama released 30 million barrels. That is after the Libyan crisis caused a disruption. Before that, during the 1991 Gulf War, when Saddam Hussein had occupied Kuwait and Americans had gone in, Senior Bush had gone in to liberate Kuwait and also hopefully hoping to defeat Saddam Hussein, that is when he had released another 17 million barrels to cool down the markets in America and to ensure supplies. Similarly, his son, George Bush, in 2005, during Hurricane Katrina, released 11 million barrels of oil. 2017, another 5 million barrels was released by Donald Trump to give supplies to Gulf Coast refineries. That is when Hurricane Harvey was coming in. And in 2011, Barack Obama released also the largest release, in fact, 13 million barrels. That is when supplies was disrupted following the disturbances and following the general meltdown in Libya. So Americans have used it earlier. Other countries also have it. EU, which has been out of all this right now, as EU always does. EU takes no pangas with anybody. That is the laziest group in the world because they've outsourced their security to America and they act only if they have to act about something. So EU is holding 825 million barrels. So together, EU holds more in reserves than, say, in America. Much more in reserve than, say, in America. But now EU is doing nothing. It's the Americans who are releasing their supplies. Now, because countries open up like this, it doesn't mean that this crude will reach immediately the markets. Americans are the most transparent about information. So in America, we know that from the day that president makes a decision to release these reserves, from that day to the reserves reaching the market takes 13 days. Because crude has to flow through pipelines, etc. It's a complex process. In India also, it takes some time. There's a lead time. Although given where India's crude reserves are, and I will tell you about that, there is no national secret to that. You can get it off the web. Where India's reserves are, chances are it will go to refineries in the south, which is mainly refineries in the public sector. That is MRPL and HPCL, etc. But it takes time. The Americans have a system for this. Americans passed a law in 1975. Where is it said pretty much that the president can do what he or she wants, right? Now we have to be very careful, use she all the time, because Kamala Harris has been president even if for a couple of hours. Now, the president can order a full drawdown in case of severe energy supply disruption that threatens national security or economy. A limited drawdown of up to 30 million barrels, pretty much the American president can do anytime when there's a supply shortage. Now, America is a superpower, right? America is also a big oil producing nation, but they also import a lot. So America's current crude oil reserves of 606.1 million barrels are equivalent of about 6 months of America's crude oil imports. They are not equivalent of 6 months of America's crude oil consumption. Imports, because America produces a lot of oil, Texas produces a lot of oil, other parts of America, and lately there's been a shale gas boom as well that we know about. So this is 6 months of America's exports. Similarly, what India has, I told you, is about 9 to 10 days worth of India's overall consumption, not India's imports, but difference is not so much because 84% of India's crude oil is imported. But don't be scared that if a war breaks out, we only have 9 or 10 days of fuel and what will happen after that. This is what the government holds in its strategic reserves. Under the Indian system, Indian refineries have to hold reserves with them up to at least 64.5 days of production. So 64.5 days there, about 10 days here. So India has about 75 days worth in reserve between all the refineries, public sector and private, a giant one like Reliance, say, at Jamnagar or SRs, which is now been taken over by a Russian partner. So all those refineries also hold a lot of stock. So India has a stock of about 75 days. Now, where are India's reserves stocked? Now, when I started researching it, first of all, I was surprised to see how openly available this information is. All you have to do is, you have to go to a website of a company called India Strategic Petroleum Reserve Limited, ISPRL. It's a public sector company. It's owned by Ministry of Petroleum and Natural Gas. It comes under Oil Industry Development Board. Its headquarters is in Noida, in OIDB Bhavan, just across the river from Delhi. Its CEO and Managing Director is Mr. HPS Ahuja. Now, India's total holdings right now of crude oil reserves is 5.33 million tons. Now, million tons and barrels are different. So, 5.33 million tons. This company, ISPRL, is holding in three reservoirs. One in Vizag, one in Mangalore, and third in Padur. And when I saw Padur, I thought, I know a locality in Chennai, in South Chennai called Padur, and I thought maybe it's there, but it's not there. It's in the Udupi region, again on the western coast in Karnataka area. So these three reservoirs hold together 5.33 million tons, and I will give you the details as per ISPRL's website and other publicly available information. Vizag has 1.33 million tons, that is 9.77 million barrels. Mangalore has 1.5 million tons, that is 11 million barrels, and Padur in Udupi has 2.5 million tons, that's the largest, with 18.37 million barrels. And we told you Vajpayee government started this in 1998, which was a very good initiative. In his 2017-18 budget speech, Arun Jaitley said that India was going to expand these storehouses, and two more large storages were going to be built. One in Chandi Khole in Odisha. That's also coastal. That work is already going on. All this storage is underground. So these are large, safe underground facilities. It's a lot of engineering work. So Chandi Khole or Chandi Khol in Odisha is where a new facility is being built. It will be the largest facility so far in India. Then another facility is being built, or will start getting built, in Bikaner. That's what he announced in Rajasthan. So that will be onshore in the western sector. And now it looks like yet another facility will be built in Rajkot. So India is increasing its strategic oil reserves. Having said that, we should also see where India's oil is coming from. Because now you know that there are lots of restrictions on Venezuela and Iran. So if you look at India's oil imports, about 53% of all of India's crude oil comes from the Middle East, 15% from Africa, 14% from the US, and the rest from here and there. India is now buying from some from Russia as well, and India buys from some other countries too. But basically 53% Middle East, 15% Africa, that is 68%, 14% America, that is 82%, and the rest comes from wherever. Now, of this, Iraq, we import 8.7 million barrels, from the US, 5.5. So US is our second largest exporter of crude oil. Nigeria, 4.8, that's the third. And Saudi Arabia, 4.5. And lately, Indian Oil Corporation has also signed a sizable agreement from Russia's Rosneft to import from them. So this is the situation now. Once again, what has happened is a symbolic step. For the first time in the history of oil trading, buyers have got together now, and the buyers are challenging producers and sellers. So this is going to be an interesting game. Let us see how this movie plays out. And before I let you go, compliments where they are due. This episode of Cut the Clutter comes to you because of the urging of one of my smart viewers with a great nuisance, who wrote to me last night that I should be doing a Cut the Clutter on this crude oil situation, which is what I'm doing. You will see our viewer's name on the screen. So once again, thank you very much.